it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Minnesota last night averages 4.6 yards per carry against the Bears. The one running back, Jordan Mason, was way more effective than Aaron Jones. Jordan Mason was over, it was at 4.5 yards a carry, which is pretty damn good. Aaron Jones struggled. Those numbers, those totals were helped by J.J. McCarthy's two runs of 14 and 11 yards. I thought it was interesting when he said that everyone is mad about it, because that strikes me that there have been some conversations about the run game. That strikes me that they're inside that building in team meetings. There's been some venting about the run game. I mean, I would imagine that that is something that has to and will get better next week.
There's no question. The offense is predicated on being able to run the football, because if you're able to run the football, it opens up everything else. Yes, they have talented wide receivers without question, but everything's about the offensive line. And what makes Jared Goff, it's not the one thing, but what he does really well, play action passing. Mm-hmm. He's outstanding at it, but you can't, you know, have success with that if you're not able to run the ball in the first place to keep other teams honest.
All right, one more here from Dan Campbell. Should you have played the young guards in the preseason? Okay, there's look at the struggles they're having up front. Makes you wonder, is this something he will reevaluate the philosophy? We found it really interesting, if you missed it yesterday, that the bottom three offensive outputs, 60 minutes of football, were game one, game two, and game three last year, 20, 16, and 20 points. After week three, they really got the offense humming and ended up being the top scoring offense in the NFL. So you start the next season and the offense puts up 13 in the opener. Okay, there's a pattern here, perhaps developing. But anyway, as far as whether or not they should have played specifically the young guards, here's what Dan Campbell had to say.
I think it was kind of a surprising answer.
I was surprised too, and I love it.
I think people are kind of like, whoa, he actually said that. But I mean, initially when he answers the question, he said, "Do you mean starters?" As if to say, "You want us to play the starters in the preseason?"
The part that you didn't hear. Yeah.
And then they clarified, "Well, no, the rookies." And he said, "Okay." And then specifically with Mahogany in there too. I think it's refreshing to hear that, and it's something that I agree with. When you have rookies, I think rookies need to play. As far as the start is concerned, you don't have to worry about that. But these rookies I include Mahogany as a rookie, and he's not. But these are guys that have no experience or very little experience in starting. So, yes, I've always been an advocate of that when it comes to rookie players, that they should play some. And they did play some. But he's not admitting many. They should play more. They should have played more.
Well, maybe. He's admitting that they're thinking about it. Yeah. And
Tyleek Williams, who was another one on the other side of the ball. He needs to get reps, right?
Did they exactly have a ton of rookies that were breaking in last year? Because they got off to a slow start offensively last year, too.
They had nothing offensively rookie-wise. I mean, they had Sione Vaki, who got plenty of play in the preseason. And on defense, it was Terry and Arnold, and they had Ennis Rakestraw, who was basically hurt right away, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't see a whole lot of it on the defensive side.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm not sure that playing the rookies more. I mean, I guess it would have helped this year potentially with those two. But I like that he's looking in the mirror. Yeah. Most teams don't play their starters for much more than three or four series in the preseason, if that, if three or four series of preseason football really going to take a football team 3 weeks to get it up and running, I would argue no.
Well, success leaves you clues, Doug. Just a call we got yesterday. But I mean, to that point, was, you know, Andy Reid does play starters for a little bit in the preseason. Every coach does it differently. You know, I'd have to look back and see if Nick Sirianni, how did he handle things with his Super Bowl team? Did Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley play in the preseason? I don't know. I'd have to look back and see that. But there were a number of teams that didn't play their starters, and the Lions are one of them. It's just, it's a philosophy you go through. But with rookies, I think it is a different thing altogether, depending on what position that rookie is going to play. In some ways, like if you've got a rookie quarterback, I imagine in some ways you want to see that guy play. And then there's probably part of you that says, well, I don't want to show any film whatsoever on my rookie who's going to start the season at quarterback. But again, that's a different position, and we haven't had to see that here with the Lions.
Let's go to your phone calls, Russ and Tecumseh. Hi, Russ.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I heard the interview with Jared Goff this morning, and he sounds like a really nice guy, very, very educated, soft-spoken. But when he gets into trouble back there, he don't know what to do. He don't know if he either throws an interception or throws it way, way far away or gets sacked. And I said it from the day he got here. Detroit will never win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Sorry to say that, but he just doesn't have the killer instinct that this new breed of quarterbacks that are coming into the league.
What's the new breed got? Like what?
They got legs, baby. They got legs. They got feet. They got knowledge. They know how they can run. I mean, when you need nine and you throw a 6-yard pass, it's SOL. That's SOL.
It's amazing.
Same old Lions. Yeah. Need nine, throw a six.
How they end up with the top scoring offense in the NFL last year?
Huh?
How, with Jared Goff at quarterback, did they end up with the top scoring offense in the NFL?
Jamar Gibbs, J-Mo, Laporta. That's how they did.
So he got the ball to their weapons.
He got the ball to their weapons. Yes, he did.
So he did the job he's supposed to do. Right?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, look.
So that's guy that values the mobile quarterback.
If you are of the if you think that the number one skill set that a quarterback needs to be successful in the NFL in 2025 is mobility, okay, then you will not be a Jared Goff fan. If you think that it is a requirement to win the Super Bowl, then you will not be a Jared Goff fan. I don't think either of those things are true. There are so many different ways you can win. And Jared Goff, the skill set that he has that most mimics what I think is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game in the NFL. Most. He's not Tom Brady. Let me be clear. But Tom Brady and Jared Goff process information quickly and act upon it quickly. I think, and that's not to say, but I think that is the strength, was the biggest strength of Tom Brady, and I think it's the biggest strength of Jared Goff. Brady's the GOAT. So, but what Goff does doesn't appeal to Russ.
All right. Well, then he'll miss out. Jared Goff's thrown for more yards and more touchdown passes in the last 3 years leading up to this season than any quarterback in football. That includes Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Now, is he mobile? Oh, no, he's not. He's not, but that's why you have all those players around him to make plays, because he knows where the ball has to go and he gets it there on time. He didn't on Sunday, I don't think he had time to get the ball to players on time. There was a lot of checkdowns.
Okay, yeah. It was a mess.
It was a mess, and he was 31-39. And a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah, a lot of checkdowns.
And he did throw the interception.
I mean, I guess you just take this call until they win it all. And if they never do, you can go. It's so easy to blame one person. Like, I probably blame Matthew Stafford, who wasn't mobile and won a Super Bowl a couple years ago, right? I mean, you know, if you think mobility is it, and this happens a lot in sports talk and analysis, there's one thing that prevents you from doing it, and you just focus on the one thing, and I'm like, well.
And then you watch the game last night, but you see two quarterbacks that are clearly mobile. They're both in their second year in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. McCarthy finally getting a chance to play because he missed all of last year, but I get it.
It's also a very safe position to take. They'll never win a Super Bowl with this guy. Well, and the reason it's safe is because you're basically saying, I'll take the field every year.
Now, I'll say this, though. I love Jared Goff, I think he can absolutely win a Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. But he might be a little bit of a dinosaur. How many quarterbacks in the National Football League don't have that skill set of being able to maneuver through the pocket and make plays with their feet?
That's a good question. I mean,
I don't think there are.
I'd have to go back, and you'd have to go through team by team, but it's the mobile quarterback is a bigger factor now than it's ever been before. But you have to build offenses differently you don't have a mobile quarterback.
And again, I think they can win with him, but yep. I'm just saying you
there
start
are more
looking
and more
at
mobile quarterbacks than there've ever been before. Yes.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.